and worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Do you realize how much we need Him tonight? Amen. Amen. Anytime we get to a place where we feel like our own strength, our own self-sufficiency is good enough, we've missed the mark. Amen. We must be in a constant realization of how much we need Him. We need Him for our every breath, our every beat of our heart. Amen. Every part of our being is dependent on Him. Amen. Is that the way that you feel tonight? Amen. And if we feel that way, then we know that we need Him to speak to us. We need His Word. It's what we live by. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I need Him tonight. Do you? Amen. I'm looking for Him. Amen. I'm in expectation. Amen. As our brother Eli was been preaching the last weekend or so, expectation in what God is going to do. And I'm looking to Him to fulfill my needs. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, musicians. You can have your seats. And it's good to be with you tonight. Amen. Brother Doug is back from his trip, as we heard on Sunday, but now he gets some time to relax. Amen. And you know, people rest and recuperate in different ways. And some people's ways are trotting across the country chasing animals and trying to kill them. So I just pray that he has a real relaxing time. Amen. He's able to rejuvenate and recharge. Amen. Speaking of recharging, that's what we're here to do tonight. Amen. Amen. We're here to draw from Jehovah Jireh tonight. Amen. El Shaddai. Amen. To get our daily strength tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to welcome our visitors tonight. Just appreciate that song special. And appreciate you willing to be instant in season and out of season. And bless us with a song of praise. Amen. You know, just there's something about it when you can come into the house of God and each one is doing their part and everyone's surrendering and just here for the same purpose, and that's to glorify God. Amen. And to see Him move on the scene. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight, just like to invite you to turn into the Scripture with me. We'd like to read a couple of scriptures here from the New Testament, Mark chapter 11 and then James chapter 1. Just a little simple subject here for a Wednesday night tonight. How many enjoyed the prayer meeting last Wednesday night? That really blessed me, you know. I believe that God is going, there's going to be fruit from that, amen. There's already fruit from it, but I believe that progress was made. Things were accomplished for the kingdom of God. Amen. So just appreciate your willingness to enter in and to do battle with the enemy. Amen. You know, it's easy to be a spectator, right? But it takes effort to get into the battle, to get into the fight, to jump into the front line and to do battle. And so just appreciate each and every one of you just entering in and pulling on the word tonight. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. That's a pretty big promise right there. Amen. James 1:22, but ye be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So tonight I'd like to just, for a subject, I'd like to speak about our part or our portion or our role, our duty as it were. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word tonight, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that you would just have your perfect way, Lord, that you would anoint your word as it goes forth tonight. Lord, we're depending completely on you, Lord. We're looking to you for all things. We're recognizing, Lord, that there is no sufficiency in our flesh here tonight, Lord. Our thoughts, we want to cast them down, Lord, and have your thoughts. Our desires, our direction, Lord, anything, Lord God, we want to lay it down at your feet tonight, Lord. Our will, Lord, we want to surrender it to you. We want you to have complete preeminence here tonight. Father, I pray that you would bless each one that's come tonight, Lord, to service. Lord, I pray that there would be a blessing, Lord, for them, Lord, for that simple act, Lord God. And Lord, I know your word will not return into a void. I know it's going to accomplish something tonight. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just carry it to each believer, Lord, and anoint it, Lord, and water it, Lord, and give it life and stir it up in our hearts tonight. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and the honor and praise, for you are worthy, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. So, brother, sister, as part of the true church of the living God, we have a place. We have a part, a portion in God's economy. Is that right? Our portion is different than the angels. It's different than any heavenly beings. It's even as the true church, it's different than what we would call the foolish virgins or those that would be outside of the city. It's different than Israel. Right, we have a place as the bride of Christ that stands next to the bridegroom and enters into a marriage ceremony with him. Amen. That's our part and our place, our position as sons and daughters of God. We have a position in the heavenlies. The Bible says that even now we are seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are seated in a position and in a place of power. Amen. In that heavenly realm. Right now, our souls that are converted have been raptured and transported. And we are now dwelling in that place in our soul. But yet our bodies and our flesh remain here in this dimension. Amen. So we find that we are a multi-part being. Right? We are body, soul, and spirit. Part of us is in that other dimension, but part of us is here. And our bodies that are part of this earth will not be fully redeemed until the completion of redemption. We receive a body change, and then our bodies are redeemed, and then the earth itself will be redeemed. Is that right? Amen. Amen. But God created man flesh in the beginning. Right? Well, at the very beginning, he created him spirit. But then he gave him a body of flesh. And Brother Branham said that he gave him that body of flesh so that he could contact this earthly kingdom that he was given. He was made God of the earth. He was made to rule and to reign and to subdue the earth and to take control and to bring order out of chaos. God placed him in the Garden of Eden to dress it, the Bible says. Amen. So he had to have a physical contact with it. Yet in doing that, brother, sister, he reigned from heavenly places. Amen. Amen. He didn't do that by the sweat of his brow. He did it by faith. But he did it by taking the word of God by faith out of the heavenlies and manifesting it into this realm here on earth. That was man's role. He was a conduit. Amen. To bring the word of God out of the heavenlies into manifestation. As an amateur God, the prophet called him. Amen. Well, what is that? It's not necessarily that we would worship him, right? But as an amateur creator. Is that right? So he was to subdue it. and to bring order out of chaos. And even though man has fallen from that position, we still are made in the way that God made us in the beginning. And we still are a three-part being. Amen. Even though our flesh now is a fallen nature, we are still a conduit. And now that our souls have been redeemed, and there is no more a chasm of sin between us and our Father, we have full access into the heavenly realm. Amen. And as a conduit, we can pull the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah. By faith, we can reach into that great repository of promises and pull that out of the heavenlies into manifestation. Oh, think about it. You've got see, smell, taste, feel, hear, all these senses to touch this earthly kingdom. But you've got a faith sense that touches that kingdom. You've got a faith sense that's equipped to reach in and grab a hold of the Word of God. Amen. A faith sense to contact the heavenlies. Now, God's part in this whole relationship, we know that God has a plan of redemption, right? And He's bringing man back. He's redeeming man and redeeming the world. We know that He has come as a sacrifice, the Lamb sacrifice. We know that He is now a high priest, right? He can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He's a high priest of our profession. Is that right? And we know that He's going to come back for us and meet us in the air, and we will have a body like His. So, in other words, God is doing His part. Right? He's got a part, and we've got a part. And He's doing His part. He's faithful to His part. When He proclaimed on the cross, "It is finished," He's basically saying, like Paul, "I have run my race." Right? I have done what I was supposed to do. I have accomplished what I set out to do. I did my part. Right? When He made the sacrifice and died for the sins of the world, and that part of redemption was finished, He did His part. Now as a high priest, He's doing His part. He made the promises and He's doing His part of it. But we have a part. We can't do His part. We can't get caught up in thinking that we're responsible for His part. Any more than a wife can get caught up in thinking that she's responsible to do the husband's part. If she does and gets out of her position, it will cause her nothing but stress. Because she's not made for that. And this bride is not made to be the head. She's not made to do the thinking. She's made to say, "Amen." She's made to say, "Be it unto me according to thy word." She's made to be a conduit. She's made to be a womb where the word of God can come and be birthed into this dimension. Right? So we can't get caught up into doing someone else's part. The problem is that many times our part is so simple. Right? That we're looking for something greater to do. It can't be that simple. Right? If I just do that, that's not enough. Or where's the power in that? Right? But in fact, if that's what He's asking you to do, that can be the most powerful thing for you to be doing. A little thing maybe that we overlook. Something that seems to have little consequence. Right? We all like to use the example of sisters cutting their hair, right? Seems like such a little thing. It's just protein that grows out of the top of your head. Right? What?
a little thing, right? But it's something that he's asked us to do or not do, right? And in doing that, it has great consequences. Brother Branham said that God's not even obligated to hear a woman's prayer if she's not obedient to that simple little thing, right? Showing up to church. It's a simple little thing. Right? And you can come up with all kinds of excuses why, hey, I don't have to go to church tonight. Right? Something that's easily overlooked. But what if tonight was the night? What if you just being here, not what if, why do I even say what if? You just being here changes the atmosphere of the service. If you're not here, then something is lacking in the body. Amen. God is wanting to bless your obedience. But he can't bless it unless you're obedient. If you don't do the little part that's your part to do, then all this other big stuff that he's ready and just poised to do on your behalf, he's waiting. Amen. You've bound it all up. You've kept the blessings from you. Because you're not willing to do your small little part. Amen? Amen. I'm going to say something great big here. So pay attention. I highlighted it in bold in my notes and I wrote it out so that I would remember it. But the power of a simple act that by itself may not seem significant, right? That single act may not seem significant. But when it's part of God's will, it has extraordinary consequences. A small, simple act, seemingly insignificant, but yet part of God's will, has extraordinary consequences. Let me read to you a few little statements here from the message. This is Sirs We Would See Jesus. Brother Branham says, I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm waiting on God. I want to do my part while I'm here in California. You do your part. Right? I'm going to do my part. I'm going to prepare. You do your part. Get out and get the people in. He's saying, we're having meetings. Go out and do your part. Talk about it. Bring people in. Right? God is doing greater things today than has ever been known since Jesus Christ was on earth. That's right. And it's going right over the top of people's heads, and they're missing seeing it. That's the bad part. If they only would have knew it, like Jesus said, if they've only known your day, if you'd only knew it, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how off I would have hovered you, as a hen does her brood, but you would not if you had only known your day and your visitation. That's the way it is today. It's always been. That's what it is now. If we'd had only known the date of visitation, but the visitation goes right on through. And the people are looking way over here for something else, and the first thing you know, the visitation's over, and there it is. But he said, no man can come to me except my Father has drawn him first. And all the Father hath given me will come to me. So, you know, what if you missed that service?
Right.
And you were supposed to be there. Right? What if that thing that you've been praying about all these years, what if it just takes one more time to enter into your prayer closet and rebuke that devil, and that power will be broken? But if you don't do that one simple little act, expectations, he says, now God is willing if we are willing. God is willing if we are willing. Willing what? He says, we have our part to play. Each individual has our part to play. I can no more make a revival out of it or a meeting than nothing. No one individual or no just two or three, it'll take all of us together, working together through the Lord Jesus Christ to see something accomplished here in this city. while we're gathered together for the kingdom of God's sake. And brother, sister, we're living near the end. Amen. Now, God dwelt alone. Amen. And he moved himself into his own creation, the prophet taught us, right? Into the Logos, where he could move into creation and he could begin to create in that form. And he said a simple phrase, "Let there be light." Four words in English. I don't know what language he was speaking it in, right? How he was speaking it. I don't know the mechanics of it, all right? But the Bible says that he said, "Let there be light." You and I have never been in darkness like that. There was nothing. But that simple act. Now, God thought about it. He, in his thoughts, he had it all planned out, and he knew the beginning from the ending, and in his thoughts, it was all in his mind. But you see, brother and sister, thinking about it wasn't enough. It had to be spoken. And when he spoke it, that's when the things began to move. He spoke his own word and believed it. Is that right? That simple act, you know, what if God said, "Well, I don't need to speak it, I can just think about it." There's something about the power of speaking it. Moving it into this dimension. Bringing the thoughts of God and the Word of God into being through the spoken Word. Amen? It's not enough for you just to think about God's Word. It's good. But the promise that we just read in Mark chapter 11, Jesus said, "Saith," whatever you say and saith, every time, right? If you'll say unto the mountain, not just think about it, not pray silently. Amen? He says, "He that believeth those things that he saith shall come to pass. And he shall have whatsoever he saith." Amen. He says, whatever you pray, believing, that's what you can have. But he says, whatever you say. Bring the word of God into creation. Amen. Oh, glory. When I think about God speaking into darkness, brother, sister, as an amateur God, an amateur creator, that is what you are to be doing. Amen. I don't care how dark the situation is in your life. Amen. Think about the blackness of darkness that God spoke to. Amen. And he gave you the authority to take his word and to speak to that darkness. Amen. You may not even know what the right condition should be. Amen. Maybe you don't even know what light looks like in that situation. But you can speak to it. You can say, "Let there be." The word of God says, "Thus saith the Lord." Speak, amen, into that darkness. God will move. Amen. God's waiting to do his part. All of heaven's ready to back up his word. But it's waiting for a son or a daughter of God by faith to speak it out into this dimension. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Brother Bram says, in faith by experience. He says, "I see a crutch setting back here by a lady. If he can make her believe that she's going to have to use that crutch to get out on here, out of here, it's whipped. But when she won't look at that, but she'll look at God's promise, it'll be left at the seat." You say, well, I've been crippled for years. That don't have nothing to do with it. It's what God said. That's the idea. And he told me coming up, Satan did a while ago, said, you're too hoarse to preach. Amen. I'm too tired to go to church. I'm too sick. Amen. I can't pray today. I'm too tired. I can't read my Bible. You're too hoarse to preach. I said, you're a liar. And I could hardly whisper when I come to the door. Amen. Can't even talk. Satan said, see, you're too hoarse. Instead of saying, you know, he doesn't even agree with him. He just says, you're a liar. I could hardly whisper when I come to the door, but I walked in anyhow. Because God is going to do something here tonight. Maybe save a soul or heal or some purpose. And my duty is to stand here. Now listen, what he's saying is I'm going to do my part. No matter how small it is, he says, whether I can whisper or even grunt. Amen. He's going to do something to bring the word of God into this dimension. It don't matter if it's a grunt or if it's a whisper. If there's any something in him that can take the word and just speak it out. He said, God will do something anyhow. Because he said he would, and it's our duty to take our stand. Amen. If you're not willing to take your stand, how's God going to move on that? How's God going to operate on your faith if you don't step out on it? Amen. He said it's God's duty to back us up. Amen. I wouldn't say that if a prophet didn't say it. He said it's your duty to take a stand. It's God's duty to back you up. Amen. You do your part and find out if God won't do his. Brother, sister, the safest place you can stand is on the word of God. You stand on a promise of God and he's duty bound to back it up. Amen. But sometimes it just seems silly to the natural mind. To obey, it seems silliness, right? Brother Eli was preaching a couple Sundays back about Naaman. Right? And the prophet told him, you got leprosy? Go wash in the Jordan. To Naaman, that seems silly. Right? It's ridiculous. We've got all these nice rivers, much cleaner than this, by the way, up in Syria. Isn't that good enough to wash? Why do I got to wash in this muddy old river called the Jordan? Right? And his servant said, if he asked you to do some great thing, wouldn't you do it? And yet he's asked you to do this little thing. Why don't you just do it and see what happens? Amen? All God was looking for was a small act of obedience. He was just looking for a man to just do one little thing. You see, God has partnered with man. Brother Branham said he's made us co-workers. Right? And so you have a part to do, and then he has a part to do. Now, your part is very small. Right? And he does all the rest. But if you don't do that little part, he can't do his part. But you see, in this way, God has allowed man to be a co-worker with him because your part is absolutely essential. If you do not surrender, Brother Branham said he's a gentleman. He won't force his way in. Right? But he's made your part sometimes so silly and ridiculous and small and insignificant looking to the natural mind that there's no way that you can glory from it. Amen. There's no way Naaman's going to say, yeah, man, it was this river. I mean, it was like a magical river or something. He had to acknowledge that was God. I did this simple little thing, and you know what? The God of Israel He did the rest. Amen. Jesus asked Martha and Mary, said, roll the stone away from Lazarus' tomb. Right? Brother Bram said, you've got something to do in it. That wasn't a pleasant task. Right? We know by their reaction. I don't know. He's stinking. Right? That stone is a little heavy and it's not going to be a pretty sight. Simple obedience. Sometimes it's something you just really don't want to do. Amen. Sometimes it's something just out of your comfort zone. Maybe it's take some sweat and maybe it's smelly. Noah worked hard to do his part. Right? He had to build an entire ark. He had to preach for all those years to unbelievers and take mocking and stand for the word. But when he did his little part, God did the rest. Amen? I'll start a little quote on this. This is a court trial. Brother Bram says, 5 years, 20 years, 50 years, the ark is completed. Noah sitting in the door. And here comes Mr. Scoffer, unbeliever, Mr. Skeptic, Mr. Impatient. And they say, well, now where's the rain? God said it was going to rain. He didn't say when. He said it was going to rain. He didn't say when. He just said it's going to rain. Get an ark. You'll be safe in it. It's going to rain. He didn't say when it was going to rain. You got that part down? He said, do your part. Leave it up to him to do his part. Right? The thing is, we get in there and we say, Lord, I'm going to do this. And Lord, please, now, when are you going to do your part? Right? And we're managing God. You ever heard of, nobody likes a micromanager. Right? People hate that. The manager is standing over their arm going, are you going to work on this now? Are you going to, why are you doing that when you should, right? Micromanaging. Got one of those, Brother Augustine? Yeah, right? Micromanager. Are you micromanaging God? Lord, I did this now. How about you? When are you going to do your part? You're doing your part. You're doing your part. You're doing your part now. How about now? How about now? How about now? Right? Micromanaging God. Brother Branham says he said it's going to rain. Right? He didn't say when. Well, it looks to me like if you built the ark and you've done your part, God will do his part. And look at his answer. He will. But he didn't say when he would do it. He just said he's going to do it. It's going to rain. Amen. Amen. His promise is true. Amen. I stood on it. I confessed it. And I believe it. And he will fulfill it. Amen. So the Bible tells us that faith without works is dead. Right? There's no life to it. Unless faith can move something into this dimension, there's no life in it. If you have faith, you claim to have faith, and you just hold it into yourself, and you never confess it, you never step out on it, you never move into it, is it really faith? Not according to the Bible. It says faith without works is dead, right? Now, we're not talking about necessarily big things, right? We're not talking about, man, you got to fast for a week, and you got to, unless the Lord tells you to do that. Sometimes all you have to do is say amen. I believe. Confess with your mouth. I believe. Sometimes it's just standing up. How many times in a meeting, Brother Branham said, just by raising your hand. Right? He said, there's a life behind it. There's something that there's a life force that caused your hand to go. There is something behind that. And it's a movement. It's something that comes from that faith realm and faith moving through and being expressed. Amen. He said in the message, glorified Jesus. He said they had no altar calls. That first originated with the Methodist around the early Methodist church. It's coming to the altar. So we should get rid of them, right? No more altar calls because it's a Methodist tradition. Oh, you know, he says it's a good thing. Oh, and we should never let it go. Keep it up. Well, so much for getting rid of that. I think it's a good thing. Praise the Lord. Come on out there and pour your heart out before God. That's the way to do it. Sounds to me like he's pretty supportive. But really, that isn't what saves you. You could stay there at the altar, pray all night long, cry, walk up and down the altar. You could do every penance you could. You could sell everything you got, give to the poor. You could go on a fast for 40 days and get so wore out from fasting so you couldn't walk and never do any good. Until first you accept. That's it. He said, it's your part. God did his part. Now you do your part, just a simple thing of believing it. And when you believe it, that settles it forever. Amen. Just saying amen to the word. Just being Mary and saying, be it unto me according to thy word. I believe it. I accept it. Amen. God doesn't need help doing his part. Simple words. Remember, Jesus is the high priest of our confession or our profession, right? Your words can create reality. If God's a creator through words, what about his children? Amen. I challenge you, go look up all the scriptures, all the Bible verses about the tongue. About speech. If you need help with that, you can Google it. You don't have to have expensive Bible software. Google will do it for you. That's the truth, man. But I challenge you. See what the Bible says about the tongue. And the power of the tongue. Our actions in this dimension set into motion things in heavenly places that will then move and happen here. Amen. Let's read a couple more statements here. This is from the unveiling of God. Brother Branham says, there are several sitting here, a number, that was with us the other day when he came in a whirlwind. We know that. Just over the hill here, right? Told us the day before, Brother Banks and them, when he said, take up this rock, throw it up in the air, and say, thus saith the Lord, you'll see it right away. Now what if Brother Branham had said, a rock? That's... give me something hard. I'm the seventh angel. Prophet. Gifted. Right? Shouldn't he be doing big things? Throwing a rock in the air? That's not his attitude, right? Says, I picked up the rock. He said, do it. I did it. I picked up the rock up on top of the mountain, threw it up in the air. And in the course of coming down, it started a whirlwind. See this section of it. A little rock. Thrown in the air in obedience to the word of God. There was nothing magical about that rock. But it was the word of God being obeyed in this dimension. Started a whirlwind. He says you have to do something to cause something to follow it. He said Jesus took a piece of bread and broke it and then multiplied from that piece of bread. Think about that. Couldn't he have just spoken that bread? Sure, of course he could have, right? But he chose to by demonstration show us a principle where he takes something physical and brings it by faith, brings it out in miracle into this dimension by an action of faith, right? He says he took water, he poured it into a pitcher, right? He's talking about when he made turn the water to wine, right? He told them, here's the vessels or the barrels or whatever. Pour water into them. Now, couldn't he have just made wine appear in those barrels? Sure. But there was an action of obedience. that was necessary to kickstart the Word of God. He took water, he poured it into a pitcher. Elijah took salt, put it in a cruse. Right? We know that there was death in the pot, right? And the prophet just threw some salt in there. Was that salt, you know, super salt? It has nothing to do with the salt. It was the act of obedience. It was the act of doing something small that allowed God to do His part. He cut down a stick, throwed it in the water. Right? You know what he's talking about? Where the man had thrown his axe accidentally into the water, and you know, he was lamenting, and he was borrowed or something, right? And Elisha just takes a piece of wood and throws it in the water. And the axe floats. Sure, that makes sense, right? Yeah, you throw a piece of wood in the water, that makes an axe float. It doesn't make sense to the human mind. Right? There's no reason behind it. It seems silly to the human mind, in fact. Right? But he was doing it as an act of obedience. Quickened by the Word of God. I don't know how God told him to do that. Maybe he showed him a vision. I don't know. Maybe he spoke to him, heard an audible voice. I don't know. But we know that it was the Word because it happened. Right? And so he did this little thing. Just a little thing, man. And God did a miracle. Brother Branham says it's something to symbolize. And picking up this rock and throwing it up into the air and coming down started the whirlwind. And we know that that whirlwind went until it just nearly sunk Alaska. Think about the power that was unleashed by that one simple act. Oh my. And then from the message, Choosing and a Bride, he says, where you have something to do, or you have to do something to symbolize it, like a man put some salt in a cruse, throwed it in the water, and said, thus saith the Lord, let there be sweet water. And another, Jesus picked up water and poured it into a jug and made wine out of it. You have to do something to symbolize. That's what there was. That went up in the air and come down, started a little whirlwind. Within 24 hours, it had shook that mountain till it cut a ridge around it. There's power in obedience to little things. There's power in you doing a little action on this side. There's power in it. Think about, there's so many examples of this in the Bible. I mean, we could just go on and on and on and go through them at one right after another. But think about Moses, right? The things that Moses did. I mean, you could go through all the plagues, you could go through, you know, going through the Red Sea. I was thinking about the time when they were battling and God said, you know, raise your hands. Right? And as long as Moses' hands were in the air, they had victory. Right? Lifting up his staff, hands in the air. What does Moses' hands in the air have to do with Israel being able to defeat their enemy? Right? To your natural thinking, you're going, really? You're the general. You're leading this army. Yeah, I'm going to go over here and stand with my hands in the air, and that means we're going to win. Great strategy, General Moses. Right? To the natural mind, it seems crazy. Right? But we know that as soon as his arms got tired, right? So he raised his arms in obedience and set into motion this victory. But as soon as his arms got tired and began to go down, then that began to hinder the power that was being unleashed. Think about it. There was a power that was with the camp of Israel that was helping them defeat their enemies. And that power was unleashed as long as Moses' hands were in the air. Because that's what the Word of God said. Right, that was something that Moses could do on this side to unleash the power of God to the Israel army. Amen. Lifting hands to defeat enemies. I like that. Amen. We ought to try that sometime. Amen. You got an enemy that needs to be defeated? Maybe just lift your hands and pray a little bit. Amen. Just lift your hands in praise. Begin to worship God. Amen. Think about His promises. Confess His word. Amen. That'll defeat some enemies. That will unleash the power of the living God in your life. Amen. Obedience is what did it. And Moses couldn't do it by himself. Right? He needed some help. He needed some men to help him. Hallelujah. Sometimes we need somebody to help us. Walk in obedience, amen. Somebody, a buddy sometimes to come alongside and to pray through with you. Amen. To lift you up, to strengthen you, somebody to lean on. Somebody to get you back on track. Amen. Somebody to say, you know, you used to be doing this, and God was blessing you, and now you're not doing it anymore. Let me help you get back on track. Let me lift your arms again. Amen. And get back into the will of God. Get back to where the power of God can come down in your life. Amen. Sometimes we need that. Amen. Joshua marching around a wall and blowing a trumpet is not what you would write in the books of generals. Right? You're going to attack the walled city and we're going to do it by marching around and blowing a trumpet. Right? It seems ridiculous, but the obedience to do the little thing that they could do. God wasn't asking them to do something that was, you know, outlandish. It might have seemed strange, but it wasn't something that was difficult for them. Right? They just had to do it. Simple obedience. Elisha, salt, simple. Right? It was something right ahead. The stick in the water, simple. He didn't have to go up to, you know, Mount Fujiyama and get a special, you know, tree limb and hike all the way back, you know, and put that in the water. It doesn't even tell us what it was. He just cut a tree limb and threw it in. And the miraculous came out of the heavenlies. When a child of God was obedient to the word of God. Oh, think about the power. Think about what God has promised to the bride in this age. Amen? Think about just that scripture that we read at the very beginning. If you speak unto this mountain. Amen. Maybe it's not a literal mountain that you need to speak to tonight. Maybe it's a mountain of circumstance. Maybe it's a mountain of pain. Maybe it's a mountain of sickness. Maybe it's a mountain of a demon that's got someone in your family in bondage. Maybe it's a mountain of an oppression that's on your life. Speak to that mountain. You want to see the power of God unleashed in that situation? Speak to it. And Jesus said, "Whatever you say." But too many times we speak the opposite. Jesus said, "Whatever you say." Think about that. I'm sick. You said it. I'm a loser. I'll never amount to anything. You said it. When Brother Branham threw that stone in the air and a whirlwind came down, it started into motion an earthquake like the West Coast has never seen before. Because it was according to "Thus saith the Lord." He could have blown it off and said, "Well, that doesn't matter. That's a silly little thing." But in obedience, he shook the earth. He told us that Jesus in flesh did the same thing. Right? He took the bread, he broke it, had them pour the water to turn it into wine. He spoke to the storm. He said, "Peace, be still." And whatever he said came to pass. Is that right? One time he He made mud out of his own spit and wiped it on a blind man's eyes. What was that, magic mud? Right? I mean, there was nothing special about the dirt. There was nothing special about his spittle. Right? But there was, it was a contact. It was a physical act. Bringing into this dimension the promise of God for healing. Small acts of faith have big results. Let me say that again. Small acts of faith by the child of God have big results. You step out on faith, a small act of faith, God will multiply it and He'll do His part and it'll have big results. You say, oh, it's just a small thing. That's all I can do. That's all you need to do. And it'll have big results. Amen. In calling Jesus on the scene, he said, Brother Bram says, I'm almost like Zacchaeus. These things are always too short for me. I want to speak to you a few moments before we pray for the sick. He says, thank you for your fine cooperation and believing in the Spirit last night while we were speaking, trusting it'll be a great outpouring of His blessings. Now listen, he says, always remember what we're here for is try to increase your faith in His presence that you might receive that which you ask for. Then by faith you believe. Amen. Remember, every redemptive blessing has already been purchased. The price is paid. There's only one way that you'll ever be able to receive it is to believe it and accept it. He's the high priest of our confession. The Hebrew says there, a Hebrew letter says, a high priest of our profession. To profess and confess is the same thing, of course. So He's the high priest of our confession. Therefore, He cannot do anything for us until we first confess that He has done it. And then when we confess it, then He is the high priest, a mediator to go to work on that and make it right. So we pray, trusting in God tonight, in His kindness and mercy, He will give us His abundance of grace tonight. And remember, you must accept it. You want your high priest to go to work on your confession. If you want your high priest to go to work and mediate for you tonight, he's mediating based on your confession. Whatever you say. Amen? There are so many symbols like this. We anoint with oil. The Bible says anoint. We can call for the elders of the church. Anoint the to heal the sick. For those that are sick, we can anoint them with oil. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Right? And anointing with oil, there's nothing. Where's the oil? There's nothing special about this oil. Right? It's just olive oil. But there's an act of faith. There's an act of obedience. Right. When you go to the waters of baptism, what is that? It's an act of obedience. You're doing your part. Right? You're saying, Lord, your word says to do this. I'm going to do it in an act of obedience. And brother and sister, when you do that small act of obedience, then you unleash the Holy Spirit. It says, if you will repent and be baptized, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. By doing that act of obedience, you unleash the Holy Spirit to be able to come into your life. Think about that. Amen. Laying on of hands. Prayer cloths. Right? It's a contact of faith. It's saying that I believe God's word and I'm doing this by faith. I'm going to do this simple little part and I'm going to let God take care of the rest. Amen. In Brother Branham's meetings, when people would, cripples or people in wheelchairs, he would say, stand up. Before they were healed. Now, he could see it, right? But they couldn't see it. Many times, they would just have to, by faith, start to move to the promise. Take one little step and then that power of God is right there to meet them. When they would step out by faith, then that quickening power would just move. Amen. But they had to, by faith, make that initial move. Brother, sister, we've got to take a step of faith. Peter stepped out on the water. He did something that no one other than Jesus had ever done. Right? But he was willing to take the risk. He was willing to take the step. And when he took the step, there was something there to meet him. There was a power there to lift him up. To keep him. To hold him above the storm. But only, he never knew that power was there until he stepped. Amen. Sometimes you want to see the power of God, you got to take a step. You got to step out. You got to make a confession. You got to do something. You got to move into it. Thinking about that brother that was the barber, who was blind, right? He confessed the word of God. Praise God, I'm healed. Praise God, I'm healed. Praise God, I'm healed. Praise God, I can see. Thank God for healing me. I can see. Amen. Until the power of God came and moved on that confession. And that scripture was fulfilled. Whatever you say. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother and sister, what are we missing in our lives? What are we missing out on? When we let the devil rob us. Amen. And talk us out of simple steps of faith. Simple little things. Obedience. Little things that we can do that we know to do. And we overlook it and we say, well, I've been doing that for years and I still haven't seen anything. Well, are you micromanaging God and telling him when is he going to do it? Or are you like the blind barber that just kept confessing until it happened? Amen. Our part is to speak the word. Our part is to obey. Our part is to do the simple things that we know to do and let God do the rest. Don't try to manage his business. Amen. Just believe him. And we'll do our part. He'll be faithful to do his. Do you believe that tonight? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Tonight we have the power to change things by our confession. By our small acts of faith. Just coming here tonight has changed the service for others around you and has changed your life in some way. Just that simple act of obedience to come to hear the word of God. Think about that little act. That simple act of obedience to hear that, heed that still small voice that says, just come pray with me for a few minutes. Just come talk to me. Come find me in your prayer closet. He said, well, I've done that. You know, I've done that and tried this and tried that. Well, maybe just that act of obedience is what God is looking for and waiting on to open the portals of glory. So let's be doers of the word, amen, and not hearers only. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, we just love you and thank you for all your goodness, Lord. So thankful, Lord, for what you've done for us, Father. Lord, I just pray tonight, Lord, that we would be doers of this word, Lord, and not hearers only, Father. That, Lord, this word would have an impact on us, Lord, that it would have an effect, Lord. We wouldn't just walk out these doors and say, well, that was just a nice Wednesday night service. But Lord, that we would begin, Lord, if we haven't already, Lord, that we would begin from this day forward, Lord, to speak your word, Lord, to confess it, Lord, to say, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. I say amen to every promise, Lord, that you've made concerning me. Lord, I want to be one that does, Lord God. Lord, one that speaks, Lord. I want to have the right confession on my lips. Lord, help me, Lord. Help my brothers and sisters, Lord. May we guard our tongues, Lord, and recognize that there is power in our words, that there is power in the confession of the son or a daughter of God, that we have the ability to create by our confession. Lord, I pray that you just quicken faith in the building tonight, Lord. Help my brothers and sisters. Help us, Lord, to step out on faith more, Father, just to trust you, Lord, not to worry about your part, Lord, but just to be faithful to do our part. Lord, I know you're faithful. You never fail, Lord. And we can be sure in your promises, Lord, that if we would just do our little bit, Lord, we know that you will do yours. I thank you, Lord, that you're not changing, Lord, that we can rely on you, Lord, that you're always the same, Lord, that you, Lord, when you spoke one way, one time, Lord, we can just hold to it, Lord. You're such a rock, Lord. You're such a mighty, strong tower. So thankful, Lord, for your fellowship, Lord. Your presence with us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and, Lord, your blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Lord, your blood that has settled the sin question once and for all. Lord, that you've cleansed us so that we can stand before you as redeemed sons and daughters of the living God. That we can speak your word here in this dimension, Lord. Father, bless each heart here tonight, Lord. Give each one their portion, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Oh, let's just worship him a little while tonight. Amen. Amen. Maybe we'd just be like Moses a little bit and lift our hands. Seems like such a small thing, right? But we can lift our hands to God and say, Lord, I don't care how tired I am. I don't care how the devil has beat me down. I'm going to lift my hands to the living God and recognize that he is king on this throne tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You can unleash the power of God into your life just by confessing and praising him. He is my healer tonight. I confess him as my healer. He is my deliverer tonight. Oh, hallelujah. I confess that he is my deliverer. He is my strong and mighty tower. He is the mighty God. Hallelujah. Oh, I confess it tonight with my mouth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. What are we playing here? Amen. I'll say yes. Amen. I'll say amen to every word tonight. I'll say yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. To your will, Lord. I'll say yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'll say I'll say yes, let's take it up just a little bit. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord. I'm going to say yes to your will, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God tonight. Hallelujah. To your will. I don't care what I have to do, Lord. I want to do your will, oh God. I'll say yes, Lord.